The one that we serve is the great physician who heals people. We have not because we ask not. So let's ask right now. Lord, we come. We come in your presence. We come with your power. You have given to us the power of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus who is with us right now, to guide us as we pray, to even pray the things that we can't put into our words, and we speak those out right now. You know what is in our hearts for each of these. We're asking for your healing hand to be upon them right now. We're asking you to come and do the miraculous in their lives. I thank you for answers to prayer. And has anyone had an answer to prayer this week? God has intervened. Yes, Lord, you're seeing the testimony all over this building this morning of answers to prayer. We thank you for that. And we're calling on you right now to come with your power and your presence. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a holiday weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. You know, where we supposedly celebrate the role of labor and all of that in our country. But we think about a lot of things. We're here on this Sunday, sandwiched in between the two national political conventions. The Republican convention was this past week. The Democrat convention will be this week. And we sit on this day sandwiched between the two. There's never been a more important election than one that's coming up right now. On every level that's coming. And, you know, it is our standard policy. We endorse no one. But we do talk about issues, and we will continue to do that. That makes people nervous sometimes when we talk about issues. But that's, we have a good example in the Scripture. The prophets of old spoke about issues. All this week I've been thinking about freedom. I'm reminded of these words, and in fact today's message is going to be about freedom, but maybe from a different angle than what you might be thinking. This that I read to you, many of you have committed it to memory, but listen to these words. In Congress, July 4, 1776. Unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bonds which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Are you free? Do you feel free? Do you act free? Are you free at every definition of what freedom means? Let freedom ring. Has there ever been a more free society on the face of the planet than the one in which you live? Answer: absolutely not. That's not conjecture. That's not opinion. That's fact. You live in a democratic republic. You don't live in a democracy, a pure democracy. For in a pure democracy, a simple majority would be able to lord their opinions over and enforce them on the minority. But you live in a democratic republic where those freedoms are protected. The Bill of Rights, I read part of that's part of the Declaration of Independence. Our Constitution. But I want you to know what the root of that is. Where did that come from? It came from the heart of God, who's part of the founding of this nation. You look at the people who came here. What were they seeking? They were seeking freedom. And primarily, freedom of religion. Freedom to express themselves and not have the state to enforce upon them a way of life, and in particular, a spiritual way of life, but have freedom. And you look at what groups have enjoyed. Oh, we have our flaws. Yes, we have our flaws in our country, but so many of those have been addressed. But look at all the groups that come to this country and can have freedom to worship. Freedom to do their thing. I watched that this week. I watched people. I saw groups of people and I thought, wow, what other nation in the world could they come and just set up shop and be themselves? And be in this society that celebrates that doesn't put the hammer down and say, you've got to do it this way. But the underpinnings of all of that is the freedom that's expressed to us through our Lord Jesus. Freedom that we see ringing out through as you go back and you see Moses there, liberating the people of God by the power of God as they come out of slavery in Egypt and come. The freedom that comes as the people were set free from Babylonian captivity, who were able to come back to the land. The freedom that we see throughout history that the Lord has given to people, it is a gift from Him. As we think about that on the macro, I just want to put you in context of the time in which you live, the week, that this period in history where you happen to live, and look all over the planet right now, and all the things that are being done in the name of freedom. We look at the Arab Spring that took place all over the Mediterranean world. You look at all those places, and you ask the question, in each of those places, are those people better off today? Because they've traded one tyranny for a worse tyranny. Because you see, behind a lot of the freedom that is going on in those places is that ugly specter of people who want world domination, who would love to put the rest of the world under their boot. You see that in the hyper example of the Islamic world, those who desire there in Iran and in other places, these groups that desire world dominion. And you see, I would love to celebrate and say, oh, it's great democracy taking place there. By seeing those winds of change, people have used that change bring an even uglier form of bondage. You look in the former Soviet Union And we celebrated as we were able to go into those places. Missionaries went in there that had not been able to go into those places. But we see over the last decade or so, the doors shutting there. And we see that totalitarian kind of idea about things slowly moving back in. You know, we need to hear the good news of freedom proclaimed again, just like Dr. King said it there as he gave his great I Have a Dream speech. Let freedom ring. Let it ring throughout the... And the backdrop of that was not a freedom that man made, but a freedom that can only come from God. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the 8th chapter of John, the Gospel of John. Verse 31 and 32. If you want to take notes today, we'll have this posted on the net this afternoon, but I encourage you to take some notes. Write some of these scriptures down. No PowerPoint for you today. And so Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed in Him, if you continue in My Word, then you're truly disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You should know the truth. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when He's talking about knowing the truth, this is a personal connection, a personal knowledge of a person who is the personification of truth. So having Him in your life, it's not the adoption of a set of rules and regulations. It's not just the adoption of ideas. It is the incorporation of the person who is behind those ideas where He becomes the Lord of your life. What are the implications of that? That we will be made free. Well, you can only understand freedom totally, and you tend to take it for granted, if you don't understand what bondage is about. For freedom set next to bondage shines brightest. And you see bondage. You see bondage that we've described before. We said, as we even look at the testing of Jesus in the wilderness after His baptism, as He goes out to the wilderness there and he is tempted of the devil in three ways. Do you remember those? Not read that passage again. He was tested of the devil in three areas: the world system, his own flesh, and the devil himself. Remember, turn these stones into bread? He's tested in the flesh, with His own flesh. He was taken up to the pinnacle of the temple, and evil one says, throw yourself down. You know, quoting Scripture, He's given His angels charge concerning you. They'll catch you. There the evil one's tempting in regard to the world system. The world system would He would bow the knee there. And then He takes Him up on a mountain. He says, all this I'll give you if you'll just bow the knee to Me. You see, the evil one. We're tested in those ways. Do you remember the first time in your life? Listen to me now. Listen to me. Do you remember the first time in your life that you realized that spiritually there was something going on that was a lot deeper than what you could see with your own two eyes? You remember that? You remember experiences like that? I remember walking down Montgomery Street. The original 7-Eleven. Harvey Wu ran the original 7-Eleven, and he threw me out of there several times. Once for dropping a Mountain Dew in there and splattered all over the floor. Another for putting my elbow in a 500-count box of Fireballs that was sitting up on the counter and dumping them in the trash. And Both of which, I don't think he was inviting us to Sunday school as he invited us out of his store, certain words that he spoke to us. They weren't blessings. But I remember there was a newsstand out in front of his place there. And it was back when these rags, this yellow journalism, I'm trying to remember the genre of something that would fit in the genre of a National Enquirer kind of thing, but worse than that. And had these pictures of people that had been maimed in different ways and I remember as a little child looking at that and that night not being able to go to sleep. As I realized then something spiritual, something was deeper wrong than what I could see with my own two eyes. Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Any of you pray that prayer when you were a little kid? Yeah. I remember that night praying that prayer with my mom or my grandmother. I don't remember which one, my mom or my grandmother, by my bed and wondering about evil in the world. It would be years later, as a teenager, I was about 15 or 16. Friend of ours in the church, her dad had gotten this farmhouse that backed up. It was a two-story farmhouse that backed up to a railroad track. And we were going to have a youth retreat there. So we all piled in cars and we went there for the youth retreat. And after our Bible study was over that evening, we got together in this one room upstairs. And someone said, "Let's have a seance." And so we did. Got in a big circle and did the thing and all that. And I'm not prescribing anything to you here. I'm describing something to you. And we thought it was this harmless thing that you would do and nothing would happen. And I remember we stopped it because strange things began to happen. We invited the presence of evil. I remember that was another marker for me when I knew that there was something, that there was a greater evil, there was a greater thing that was going on that was far larger and bigger and deeper than what I could see with my own two eyes. As I would get older, you know, I had more experiences in the world. And I'll not go through all of those the first possessed person that I can ever remember meeting was in the Kmart parking lot on Montgomery Crossroads. A guy who was part of the Back to Godhead movement at that time. This was in the late 60s, 68, 69. And I'd gone in the store and I was coming out and he confronted me. And I couldn't get away from him fast enough because I felt like I was looking into the face of evil. The things that he said and what I felt in my spirit. Now listen to me. I was feeling things inside that it would be years later before I would begin to understand, be able to put words on and describe what was actually happening. I began to understand some of the nature of the battle that we're in and about what freedom is all about. Being free in Christ. Now, earlier this morning, Rick read a passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. It says, "But now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God," and he goes on, "for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know, that is God's ideal, that we are free from that stuff. But you turn over one chapter and you see in chapter 7 in Romans that there Paul says, "The things that I want to do I can't do, the things I don't want to do I do." Why? Because of the sin that dwells within me. We would see him in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he would later go on, he said, "For we walk," in verse 3, "for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." So there he is referring not to this nether world, but to the reality of the struggle with evil that goes on. We saw it on 9/11. I've quoted this to you many times, but how soon we forget. How soon we forget 9/11. How soon we forget all the stuff that went on there. It's like it never happened. But there we were grappling with how to cope with evil because it was right in our living room. Let me ask you, does that stuff continue to happen all over the world? We've anesthetized it to such a point that, oh, that's far away. That's another place. But see, we had to deal with that. It was right on our front in our living room. It happened to us. Dealing with evil. Dealing with it day by day. That when you ask that question, why does this happen? Why does this happen in my family? Why does this seem to happen? Every time that I begin to get my walk right with the Lord, it seems like all hell breaks loose. Have you said that before? Have you wondered that? Of course you have. I'm not going to sit here and think you haven't wondered. But there's a rhyme and a reason to it. There's a battle going on. It's the battle for the souls of men and women and boys and girls who need Jesus. And who need to be walking in Jesus. You know, just because you get saved, you invite Jesus in your life, doesn't mean the devil quits bothering you, does it? Can I get a witness on that? Anybody? In some ways, what does that do? Whew, I got tune. What does the fighter pilot say? I got tune. What does that mean? The target has been acquired. Ever feel like you're targeted? But you know, the Scripture says, "Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world." You believe that? It is the ignoramus, the spiritual ignoramus, that will walk around and say, "Well, the battle doesn't exist." It is the spiritual idiot, they'll say, "Well, the battle's going on, I'm just going to capitulate. You know, it's all going to hell in a handbasket." No, it's not. We are bound for eternity with Him. So He feels so strongly about this is that not only did Jesus come to the earth once, He's coming back again. He's coming back to get us personally. Now you think about that. Hey, it's time in our lives to just sit by and just let all hell break loose. Let's let all heaven break loose. How about that? How about speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, to people in their lives? and seeing the power of God and telling the devil to go to hell. Get out of here. Get your hands off my people. Of the people, of my stuff, of the people in my life, to rebuke him. Call upon the Lord's resources. Now, your freedom in Christ, Let me tell you some ways you can maintain your freedom. Okay? First is, you can agree with God about the sin in your life so that you maintain a purity. 1 John 1:9 says, we confess our sin, He's faithful and just, forgives our sin, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? That means if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It means exactly what it says. You come in agreement with Him. E.V. Hill said, our big problem is all of us want to go around and act like we ain't never done nothing. Not true. Oh, I didn't have those thoughts. Yes, you did. I love one of the stories my dad has told about the guy that told him on the job he was sinless. Oh, I got saved. I quit committing sin. Later on, he was up high on the building there, and Dad heard him ripping into this guy. And I don't think those were words Jesus would use. We're forgiven. It's time to walk in that forgiveness. To walk in that. Claim God's forgiveness. And quit doing it! Stop! Guys, if you've got to put software on your computer to keep you from doing those extra clicks, do it. If you've got to have another monitor in another room that's out there where your family can see every click you do, do it. It's worth it. So you got the accountability. Women, stay out of them chat rooms. Now, I know I just made two gross generalizations, but let me tell you, I'm 90% right on both of them. And I know I'm right. Stay out of the chat rooms. Confess your sin. You also need to stay under the cover of your church. Stay under the covering of the body. Be in community. Living it out so there are other people in your life. Living under the cover. Because you know what happens when you get outside? You're subject to everything else that come along. Third, the Bible's got to become a part of your daily life. Not just reading it so you can win the next argument on work or at work or be able to do that though when they occasionally have the Bible column on Jeopardy. You know? Or you can be the smart aleck, you know, oh, I know everything about the Bible, you know. Let me tell you some other people that knew everything about the Bible. The Pharisees. God's not interested in how much you know, because He can give you a test just like that you can't pass. He's interested in what gets translated in these feet. What you doing? What are you doing about it? But the Bible's got to become a daily part of your life. Applying it, living it out. Fourth, your thought life. I've already referred to that. But you got to be vigilant about your thought life. You've got to take control of that. And if there are some places that you don't need to go, that your thought life goes wild, don't go there. If there's a person that when you're around them, don't be around them. Take control. Allow the Spirit of God to take control through you so you can live in freedom. You say, well that's bondage. No, that's not bondage. That's staying away from bondage. That's not walking into the jail cell. Are you understanding me? Is this making sense here? I know this is on a high theological level today. All right. Number five. Start accepting some accountability in your life. Are there people in your life? It's almost like the Spirit of God led Rick and I to the same places today. Oh, imagine that happening. Accountability in your life. People that have the privilege and the responsibility of asking you the hard question in your life. Like, are you behaving yourself, boy? All of us needs to have to answer that question. Scripture says in James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so God can heal you. When a believing person prays, great things happen. Do you believe that? Accountability. And that accountability isn't so the other person, oh man, I got some juicy stuff for the gossip mill. Do you know what that does to the spirit of accountability when you break a confidence like that? You've done worse. That is more evil than the original thing. God does not truck with that. Accountability in life. Oh, there's some people. That's why we have life groups. That's why I have these go-through groups. That's why we encourage you to have people personally in your life that you don't just come to this nebulous, oh, this worship service. We have a great experience. We go out in here and we live another life. We live a duplicitous life, a dual life. I remember years ago in church I was pastoring. You know, here I get a call that this person has committed suicide. I said, man, I didn't even know that they were troubled. That's bad. Number six, you got to take responsibility for your own growth in your life. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, wholly acceptable, which is His reasonable service of worship. That's the King James Version of that. Being translated. Submitting yourself to God, that means I take responsibility for my own growth. So I can feed myself. How many Christians today have said about their church, oh, it just didn't feed me today. That's a hot button phrase for me. So be careful when you say that to me. Because what does that make God want to do? Cram a baby bottle in your mouth? It didn't feed me. I'm waiting for somebody to stick something in my mouth. Maybe like the little bluebirds in my backyard, that the mama bird can come and chew it up first and then drop it in your mouth. You know, that's good for people that are immature, that are new to the faith. But for people that are supposedly mature in the Lord, it's time to take responsibility for your own growth. It's time for you to jump in there to grow. Number seven, final one. Prayer has got to become a part of the process of your life and not just an event. That's what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 means. It says, pray without ceasing. It becomes a regular part of your life. Regular. Every day. Such that you're in the spirit of prayer wherever you go. All right? I shot my mouth off this week. Big news. I said something to someone very dear to me that I shouldn't have said. And I said it with gusto. At the time, I meant it. And then I realized what a stupid statement that it was. It was patently untrue. And it was like I was trying to win an argument as a Philadelphia attorney. You know, That was a great place to be with someone you love. Right? Wrong. Oh, man. Immediately, I can pray. I can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I stepped in it. I stepped in it. Would you cleanse me right now? And He does. And He does. That's freedom. That's being free. Because it means you're not in bondage to what the devil does with your stuff. It means even your sin becomes a cause for the glory of Jesus. Because you ask His forgiveness. Now, I would hasten to say, first Greek words I ever learned, megenata, means God forbid. God forbid that you would make that a cause that you would sin more. You know, Paul makes that point in Romans. He says, does that mean I need to sin more so that more grace can abound? He says, God forbid. No, no, no. But I'm just making the point that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Freedom. Living a free life. Do you believe all the politicians are telling us right now? Isn't it comical in one way all the promises that are made? On the one hand? Yeah. In the middle of that. Whose promises can you believe? When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Let's pray. Just a moment, we're going to open up the altar and maybe you'd like to come and pray. Get someone to come and pray with you. Some of our life group leaders, pastors will be here to pray with you. This is your time. If you've never received Jesus in your life, today can be the day. He'd come into your life. He died for your sin on the cross. He was buried. He rose again on the third day, ascended back to the Father. He sat down at the right hand of the Father with His work complete, and He invites everyone who come to Him in faith and trust to receive Him as Savior. Won't you receive Him today? His Holy Spirit is here. He's moving. He has touched your heart. I can't touch your heart. But the Spirit of God can. And He has. Won't you be obedient to Him right now? Lord, we come to You and we give You this time. May we respond to You in faith and trust. Lord, I ask You for freedom for us, that we could live that way in this world right now, a world that dwells in bondage. The altar's up.
wish I had a thousand tongues to sing my Savior's praise. Glories of my God and King, triumphs of His name. My gracious Master and my King, assist me to proclaim, to shout aloud to all the earth. God and King, the triumphs of His name. My gracious Master and my King, assist me to proclaim, to shout aloud to all the earth the glory of Your name, the name of Jesus. Our sorrow sings. You know it's music to the sinner's ear. brings life and hope and peace. The deaf they hear, the blind they see, the prisoners are set free. All by the power of one sweet name, I call on thee. I'm calling Jesus. Calling Jesus. Calling Jesus. Calling Jesus. Calling
we continue to pray, just remind you of a couple of things. Daniel wanted to make sure that you knew that this week on Wednesday it's his 34th birthday. So, yeah. Man, you're getting to be old, man. Old man. Old man. Let's say it all together. Old man. All right. For those of you who are guests, that's what he says to me and Dane and Rick all the time. Old man. He got fifth place last week in his bowling tournament. So we're real proud of him. And don't forget that Miss Rockwell wants to get those videos of you before you leave today. Please be in prayer for all the people we've got scattered all over the place. They're traveling, vacationing, taking a little last time together as family away. Pray for them and encourage one another. Anybody need a hug before they leave here today? All right, Cameron needs one. So make sure that you squeeze him in half before he leaves today. Anything else? Frida's, Dane said Frida's going to get to go home. So God answered that prayer immediately. All right. Send you out in the name of Jesus.
He knows my name.
He'll never leave me.